We just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, even as your word goes out this morning, we thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. That in all we say and all we do, that the name of Jesus is exalted in our midst today. And Father, we give you alone all the praise and the honor and the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Are we ready to receive this morning? Are our hearts open to receive? Because, you know, we've said this before, sometimes we can arrive here on a Sunday morning and we can then leave and be exactly the same. There's no change that takes place. Folks, we've heard the Word of God is alive and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So something happens when we hear the Word. There's a shifting that takes place on the inside of us. God speaking to us. And again, remembering too that we, once we hear the Word, we need to apply it. We need to be those that are doing the Word of God as well. So today's message really focuses on some of the verses that we see in the book of Galatians. And today I want to speak about fruit. All right. Fruit. But not just any fruit. Okay? I want to speak about a special kind of fruit. I want to speak this morning about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And if you want to put a title, the title of this morning's message will be, Let's Talk About the Fruit of the Spirit. Okay? That's straightforward. But let me say this as I start. Don't ever expect big, juicy fruit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit or fruit in your garden, if you are going out there and you are planting seeds of blackjacks, burrs, dandelions, give me some more, those things. Don't plant weeds in your life, folks. Don't plant weeds. Think about that for a moment. Because planting the right seeds in our own lives will make all the difference. So let's ask ourselves that question right now, because this needs to be practical. What are we planting? Ask yourself that. What are you planting at the moment in your own life? And today, as I share this message, and I think it's a very important message for all of us, but I trust that as I share this message, that I will be planting spiritual seeds in all of our hearts here this morning, and trust that these spiritual seeds will grow into big, fat, juicy fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. So the question then is, how do you actually tell if someone is growing spiritually? Have you ever thought about that? How do you tell if someone is growing spiritually? It's a good question. The answer to the question is that you will start to see the evidence of fruit in that person's life. And I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You start to see it. Okay? Other people will start to see that in you. And let me be bold enough to say this, that no fruit means no growth. Ena. No fruit in our lives. If we're not seeing the fruit of the Spirit developing in our lives, that means that we are actually not growing. We're becoming a little bit stagnant. So the question is, how is your fruit? How's my fruit? How's the fruit in our own lives? So before I have a look at the fruits of the Spirit and just go through this portion of Scripture in Galatians, I first want to have a look at the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh, because it's very interesting. Because when you read Galatians 5, from verse 19 to 21, it talks about the works of the flesh. And then the very next verse, verse 22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. So we can see here that these are closely linked. You know, it's giving this two kind of, how can I say? He's unpacking two things here. It's the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. So let's first of all see what the works of the flesh is in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Illicit sex kicks off with that. Anyway, illicit sex, any sex outside of marriage. That's what he's speaking about. Perversion, promiscuity, works of the flesh. Idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is when we have anything in our own lives that we put on a pedestal above God, that is elevated above God, that is actually idol worship. It's taking the place of God. It's God and then everything else. So idolatry, drug use, hatred, rivalry, right? Jealousy, angry outburst. Now the Bible says, you know, be angry because it is an emotion that God has placed on the inside of us. But he says in the word, be angry but do not sin. So angry outbursts where suddenly, you know, we just get angry, really angry about something. This is the work of the flesh. Selfish ambition is the next one. Now, ambition is a good thing that God places within us. You know, if there's no ambition, we wouldn't do anything. But when it becomes selfish ambition, we need to be careful. That's the work of the flesh. Conflict. What does conflict do? It creates disunity. Work of the flesh. Factions. It talks about factions. Envy or jealousy. Drunkenness and wild partying and similar things. So he gives us a very good breakdown before we start speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. He tells us what the works of the flesh is. Now he goes straight into the next verse, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now isn't that amazing that the first one is love? Because if we ever try to put a definition or define God, it would be that God is love, right? So the first fruit of the Spirit, we need to be those that are demonstrating godliness, demonstrating God, demonstrating love. It's love, joy, right? That the joy of the Lord is your strength. The next one is peace. And there it talks about that peace. When we read about peace in the Bible, it talks about a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's just that incredible peace that you even have in the midst of a storm in your life. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. There it is again, self-control. It's a tough one, eh? Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. If you belong to Jesus, and I believe all of us we belong to Jesus. It says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So, let's ask ourselves a question. Have we managed to crucify the flesh? Let me say that this is an ongoing thing. You know, you don't just kind of crucify the flesh. The flesh starts to yell and shout and scream back and fight back. So it's an ongoing thing where we put the flesh down. So we have to crucify, we have to put down the flesh so that you and I can live by the Spirit. And live by the Spirit means that we live in the freedom that Jesus purchased for us at Calvary. Two verses on, in verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So it's living it out, and through our daily lives, we walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. That word conceited is arrogant. Provoking one another. What is it when we provoke one another? You know, you get people angry. You make them angry. And that is what provoking is. You know how I know it? I looked it up in the dictionary when I was preparing this. So this isn't incredible revelation. That means, you know, when we prepare something, we can actually look in a dictionary as well. But that provoking, it's in that context, is talking about making people angry, people around you. Envying one another, desiring what other people have, more focusing on them than on ourselves and how we should be living out our lives. So these three things, this, you know, being conceited and provoking one another and envying one another, this is opposite. It is the real opposite to us being those that are demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit right there. And notice here that when Paul actually wrote this, he actually gives us two lists. So the first list is a work of the flesh, and then the second list we see right there is the fruits of the Spirit. And the works of the flesh, folks, we need to know this. The works of the flesh will violate God's laws. We need to be mindful. It's no good us just knowing about the fruit of the Spirit. We need to know what the works of the flesh are as well. Right? So really to help us kind of understand what I'm trying to share with us this morning, I just want to give us four principles. But all of these principles, as I speak through them, it's going to involve seeds, it's going to involve fruit, it's going to involve planting, and it's going to involve reaping. All of those like farming things. That's what farmers do. And really, the objective here is so that you and I can grow fruit, and big, juicy fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. So here are the four principles that we see in the Word of God. The first principle is this: you will reap what you sow. How many of us have heard that? It's in the Bible. You will reap what you sow. And it's quite interesting because as I was pondering this, you know, so often, well, let me say it like this. I think all of us, if we actually sinned and the consequence of the sin happened immediately, you'd find that we would sin a whole lot less. But it doesn't happen immediately, right? It doesn't happen. It's like fruit. Fruit doesn't just happen suddenly. It's a process. So the first one, you will reap what you sow. And in Galatians 6 verse 7 it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows or whatever you and I plant, that will he also reap. What does that mean? What does that actually mean? Well, he goes on to say, for the one who sows to his own flesh, now we've just seen what the flesh is all about, the one that sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap, what is it? Eternal life. Eternal life. So we need to understand that whatever we sow, we will reap. That's just the way it is. And I think to make it practical, we need to ask ourselves this question. What is it that you are and what I am? What are we reaping right now? Because we're reaping right now something that we sowed in the past. Another question would be, what are we sowing right now? Because whatever we sow in now, we will reap in the future. This is a principle of God's. It's like seed time and harvest. So what he says to us. So we need to get our heads around. I just want to read us a story here. A young man came to a 90-year-old man and he asked, how have you lived so long and how do you stay so happy? Well, you must have seen it. You must have seen something in this man for him to ask the question. And the old man took the youngster to an orchard and he pointed to some large trees full of apples and he said, I planted these trees when I was a boy and now I'm permitted to gather the fruit from them. Then he said these wise words to this young man. He said to them, we gather in old age what we plant in our youth. We gather in old age what we plant in our youth. We start to gather today what we planted yesterday or some time back. So folks, we need to be mindful of God's principles. So when we lead our lives, for example, in a sexually immoral way, right, we will reap the consequences. Not tomorrow, but we will reap the consequences according to the Word of God. If we live our lives out in hatred, if we live our lives out where there's continual strife and where there's unforgiveness and where there's jealousy and all of these things, our lives will show the fruit of that at some point in the future. If that's what we are doing right now. So what he's saying to us right here, you will always reap what you sow. And that's why I think it's so important that we, even if we start today, that we make a decision today that from today onwards, we're going to start to sow good seeds. Good seeds. Amen. That's principle number one. Principle number two, much time may pass between sowing and reaping. A lot of time between sowing and reaping. You don't kind of get out into your garden and you've just eaten an apple. And you go and take your little apple pip, right? And you go into your garden and you plant your apple pip. You don't then go to bed, come back the next morning and expect to see not only an apple tree, but an apple tree with big, juicy apples hanging off it. Am I right? There's a time process here. There's a process that actually takes place. So, but you might say to me this. You might say, you know what, Dave? You know, I've really, really, really tried to plant good seeds right throughout my life. I really have. I'm working at this and I've been doing this for a long, long time. But I've just never reaped. It's like I've never reaped what I've sown. My encouragement to you this morning is, don't worry, because it's coming. It's coming. Because this is one of God's principles. Again, it's seed time and harvest. But then you get people, and I'm sure you know people like this, you know, that will actually say, you know what? I don't know if I've been living this way, the way I'm living right now, and I've been doing my own thing for so long, and I've lived like this forever. And you know what? God has never ever punished me. He just hasn't punished me. So why should I change? I'm enjoying my lifestyle. Why should I change? In fact, some people actually kind of want God to look at their situation and kind of give them, you know, a little bit, okay, I can see what you're doing. I see your, you know, the way you're living your life, but don't worry. Okay, don't worry about it. Here's a little thumbs up for you, you know. So it's just for you, you know, everyone else, but just for you. Some people actually believe that. They really do. The bottom line is, folks, God hates sin. I spoke about that last week, okay. He hates sin. And he may not be waiting to pounce on us when we miss the mark and we do something wrong and we make a mistake. But if our attitude is, well, this thing is okay, I just want to say be careful. If we think that, you know, it's okay and we know that it's wrong, but it's kind of okay, just be careful. We see it right back in the Old Testament in Numbers. I want to read you this verse, Numbers 32, verse 23. It says, But if you will not do so, look out, you will be sinning against the Lord, and be certain of this, your sin will catch up with you. So what he's basically saying right there, this is Moses, that if we sin, you know, there's a sin that takes place and we don't deal with that thing properly. In other words, where there's a repentance. He kind of says, you know, it's like we carry on with our lives, but suddenly the sin starts to catch up with us. That's what he's saying. It will catch up with us. He says it will catch up with us. Let me say, folks, the way to do it is when we miss a mark, let's just come to the Lord. He wants to hear us, open up our mouths and actually tell him about it, that there's an absolute breakthrough right there, that we've dealt with it. And this is why repentance is so important. God wants us to, he knows what we've done, but he wants us to say it. He wants us to speak it out. Repentance is, it's verbal. We need to speak it out and tell him. And this scripture that I've just read to us in Numbers, this was Moses. And here Moses actually warns the Israelites in the scripture about their sin and how it will catch up with them if they don't deal with it. So we need to live our lives. Listen here. Live our lives knowing that God is watching. That's how we live our lives, knowing that God is watching. We need to live our lives knowing too and being mindful of the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us. That's how we live our lives. And that will help us as we progress, as we move forward. So the way that you and I live our lives today is going to impact on the future. It's as simple as that. That's just the way it is. That's what he's saying. It's going to affect our tomorrow. So we need to make sure that we plant good seed today so that we will eat well, good stuff in the future. Amen. So that was point number two, principle number two. Principle number three is this. Is what you sow and reap determines your destiny. What you sow and what you reap, those two things will determine your destiny. In other words, we need to make sure that we are sowing really good seeds, if that is the case. Because if you and I go out there and we sow a thought, whatever that thought might be, you sow a thought, you are going to reap an action. If we sow an action, what are we going to reap? We're going to reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you're going to reap a character, and sow a character, and you are going to reap a destiny. That's just the way it works. But what's so interesting about that is that it all starts off with a thought. And this is why the Bible tells us that when we have wrong thoughts, that we need to take every thought captive. Right? Don't allow those things. Don't allow those thoughts, you know, that your mind becomes a bit of a junkyard for some of the thoughts that Satan is actually throwing out there. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, keep. And that word keep means that we need to guard. It means guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Let's guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. Amen. The final principle here is what you reap is a result of what is on the inside of you. How can you say that? Well, I'm going to give you the scripture to show you. What you and I reap is because of what is on the inside of us. It says in Luke 6, verse 43, it says, for no good tree, okay, now you and I are the trees. No good tree gives bad fruit. So if you're a good tree and I'm a good tree, we're going to give good fruit. Amen. No good tree gives bad fruit, and no bad tree gives good fruit. For every tree is judged by its fruit, and we as believers, that's what I said right in the beginning, they will know us by our fruit. For every tree is judged by its fruit. Men do not get figs from thorns or grapes from a blackberry plants. The good man and woman, out of the good store of his heart, gives good things. That's a good person, right? Good things. Receiving good things, giving good things. The evil man or woman, out of the evil store, gives evil. And then it says, for out of the full store of the heart comes the words of the mouth. In other words, what is on the inside of us, whether it is good or bad, but what's on the inside of us will come out of the mouth. In fact, another translation says, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Haven't you come across people like that? You meet them for the very first time. You know, and you just get chatting to them, and it's kind of a one-on-one. And man, just give them, you've 4 minutes into the conversation, and then what starts to come out of their mouth, right? Because that's where they're at. It's out of the abundance of the heart. What's in the heart? The mouth starts to speak. How's your fruit? Relax, guys. Jeez. Relax. Okay? This is good. How's your fruit today? What fruit are you eating at the moment? Let me say this, that you will see good fruit, incredibly good fruit in your life. I will see that good fruit in my life when we allow God the Holy Spirit in to do what He needs to do on the inside of us. So we welcome Him in and let Him have His way so that we will see good fruit in our lives. Okay, having said all of that, now, how will we know if we are producing good fruit? Very good question. How do you know if you're producing good fruit? Firstly, other people will see it. Huh? People will look at you and say, gee, you've changed, man. You know? You're so different. What's going on? People see it. People notice. Other people will notice. The first one, spiritual fruit results in Christ-likeness. And that Christ-likeness, like I said earlier on, you will start to see love in your life. That is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You will start to see, you become more like Jesus, okay? And you start to demonstrate love. It says in 1 John 4, 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So this kind of love needs to be in our hearts. And that is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It needs to be in our hearts. So once it's in our hearts, we are able to then love God. Once this love is in our hearts, we are then able to demonstrate love towards our families. We are able to demonstrate love towards ourselves. We need to love ourselves. But let me stop right there. Loving ourselves doesn't mean that we become arrogant and we start putting ourselves on a pedestal and looking down at other people. Loving ourselves is where we see ourselves exactly the same way as God sees us. Not higher, not lower. Just as God sees us. Because too often, God sees us over here, but we see ourselves down here somewhere. And then, of course, that we are even able to love our enemies, which is a tough one. You know, sometimes people go through difficult things. People, you know, they experience bad things, and it could be that somebody has really done something terrible to you, where you really dislike them as a result of that. And it's kind of sounds normal or natural. But that dislike can ultimately become a hate for that person where it is so strong that you hate that person. And folks, we need to then ask the Lord to come into and help us in that situation so that He will release His love on the inside of us so we have it in us to be able to give to forgive that person. And that forgiving that person is not to set them free. That is to set us free. That's to set us free. We receive the freedom. And then, well, what do you do with that person? Now, we take that person and we say, Lord, I give this person over to you. You know the whole situation. And Father, I ask that you deal with that person. But when we do it like that, folks, we are setting ourselves free. We're not linked to that thing anymore. Like I said, it's not letting them off the hook. So many people, oh, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm letting them. No, you're not letting them off the hook. Okay? Don't worry. Hand them over to the Lord. God knows, and He will deal with the situation. The next one, number two, is spiritual fruit results in contentment. Now, what is contentment? That's a joy starts to rise up on the inside of us when we are content. When we have that spiritual fruit of joy on the inside of us, it gives us strength because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So when we start to flow in that, when we experience that joy, that is really the strength of God actually operating on the inside of us. And, you know, with that comes comfort because we know that He is our comforter. With that, we know, too, that He is our provider. And knowing all of these things, it's just we become very content. And it's a joy on the inside of us that we don't have to push all the time. We're just at peace and there's a joy on the inside of us. The next one, the spiritual fruit results in unity or peace. Peace. Peace is the fruit of the Spirit. So we need to sow this unity and we need to sow peace into our children. We need to sow unity and peace into our spouse, right? With them. Unity and peace with our boss. Let me say to all of us here that are working in business, your boss, you don't necessarily have to like them, you know all about them, and it might be some terrible things, but get on with them. Make an effort to get on with them, all right? Too many people, you know, as soon as there is conflict with your boss, you know, you are now standing on thin ice. I'm just saying, make an effort to make sure that you get on with your boss. And also, we need to sow unity and peace. When we are driving in a place where there is traffic that is just blocking us all over the place, because if we're not sowing that unity and peace in that situation, our peace is going to be taken away from us. How often does that happen? Oh, gee, we're just in the traffic jam. And it's like a stapler. I mean, a stapler is the most irritating thing on the planet because it works, it works, it works, and you only use it when you want it to work. And then you go clack, 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 and nothing happens. You know, there's no staples in the thing. All right, how many of you experienced that? It's just one of those things. So, folks, we need to start to enjoy that. As I say, even in a traffic jam, whatever we might be experiencing, just be mindful of that. And when we're in that situation and we sow in peace, right, you and I, when we sow in that peace, we can reap peace as well. Because the Bible says, whatever we sow, we will receive. So let's start to say, sow peace in the traffic jam. Help me, Lord, in that one. The next one, spiritual fruit results in humility, which is patience. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is a difficult one for all of us, what I'm going to say right now. Are you ready? Okay. We need to remember that we are not the center of the universe. Now, I know it's difficult for some of us to get our head around that one, but we are not the center of the universe. So what do you do, okay, when you don't get your way in a situation? What do you do? What do you do when you, at the shopping center, now you have to stand in the queue and you wait in that line? How do you handle that? What do you actually do when you spend a whole lot of time with someone and giving them some wise counsel and they just don't take your advice? What do you do when you've got that important call to make and next thing your phone's dropping calls and there's no network? And how do we conduct ourselves? How do we handle ourselves? You know what we need to do? Throw the phone away. We need to remind ourselves that we are not the center of the universe. Right? And if we get to that, we can use those situations and those times to water the fruit of patience. That's what we do. That's what we're doing. You know, if we've got the right attitude, we actually water in the fruit of patience. And let me say this as well, that if we are doing that, we're actually representing Jesus well. Amen? We really are. Remember too that when you're in that traffic jam, and you want to get there and you can't get there and all these cars around you, and as you go through that taxi cuts you off, you know what it's like. It could be that you're not moving quickly because God has actually planned it like that, because He knows that if you had got through there, what might have happened 10 minutes later. It's as simple as that. So let's use those times to water that fruit of patience. Oh, man. You know when it's hard when you're preaching to yourself? That's when it's tough, eh? Spiritual fruit results in compassion. Now, it's interesting because kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, goodness is a fruit of the Spirit, and gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Those three, fruits of the Spirit, put them together, and it's really compassion. You know, we need to be kind towards people. We need to demonstrate goodness towards people, and we need to be gentle with people. Gentle, right? Are these things, here's a question, are these things evident in our lives? It's so good when I can stand here and you're part of this church and you all say, yeah, we're all there. The next one, spiritual fruit results in trust and dependence on God. And you know, what is that? That's faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God. Then also spiritual fruit results in repentance or the thing of self-control, because they're linked. Because confession is only half of the battle. It is only half of the battle. But without self-control, let me say, there is no repentance. Without self-control, no repentance. And cheers. See you. Enjoy the soccer. And without repentance, you know what the problem is? There's actually a danger, and it's a danger that you and I become hard-hearted. And this is, of course, is not what the Lord wants. So I want to ask us another question as I finish off here. So how do we develop and cultivate spiritual fruit? This is what we're talking about today. How do we develop it, and how do we cultivate it? The first one is to love God's word. Embrace the word of God. It says in Psalm 1 verse 1, and this is interesting. It says, blessed is the person. Okay, first of all, who wants that? We all want that. Blessed is the person. Now see what it says here. Who does not follow the advice of wicked people. So let's not follow the advice of wicked people. And also, they take the path of sinners. We don't follow after sinners and do what they do. Or join the company of mockers. If we don't do those things, it says, blessed is the person. But listen now, it says, rather, he delights in the teaching of the Lord, and he reflects on his teachings day and night. Now let's be honest with ourselves. Do you reflect on the teaching of the Lord day and night? Because there are more blessings that come. I'll read on. He, that person that reflects on the teachings of the Lord day and night, he is like a tree planted beside streams, a tree that produces fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Listen to what he says now. He, that person or she, succeeds in everything he does. That's powerful, folks. This is for us. So first of all, if you want to be blessed, right, and you want to succeed in everything you do, all we need to do is delight ourselves in the Word of God day and night, and we will receive it according to God's Word. Here's a question. Okay, you answer yourself. Let me say this. Do you read the Word of God every day? Because he says here, he delights in the teachings of the Lord and reflects on his teachings day and night. And if that's you, you will be blessed and you will succeed in everything that you do. Do you read the Word of God every day? I want to encourage you if you're not. Okay, just start. Today is a good time to start. Tomorrow. And also to make sure that we plant seeds of God's Word, that as we read it and as we meditate on the Word of God, we are planting those seeds on the inside of us. And as we plant in, we're talking about seed time and harvest, as we plant, it will grow. Ultimately, it will grow. So that's the first one. The next one, to develop and cultivate spiritual fruit, there's only three here. The next one is to be teachable. We need to be teachable. Sometimes we reach a point where we think we so know so much about the Word of God that we are just not teachable. We just want to, you know, kind of give instead of receiving. We become not teachable. It says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. This is the Word of God. That the man of God or the woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So, folks, we need to allow the Word of God to change us. Change us. But as we start to receive it and meditate on it and start to plant those seeds on the inside of us, it will change who we are. It will change the way we do things because we've been in His presence. And the last one, in terms of developing and cultivating spiritual fruit, live a repentant lifestyle. Gets back to this, you know, that when we mess up, let's just go to the Lord and not try to duck and dive. You know, I've shared some of that as, but it's quite interesting. I love Jesus when he kind of responds to certain religious group of people, because he doesn't hold back. Watch here, in Matthew 3 verse 7. It says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come in to his baptism. So the religious leaders of the day, these are the important dudes, eh? These are the real, you know, the important guys. You know, the ones that are dressed to the nines and, you know, now they come into his baptism. So when Jesus sees them come in, he says to them, welcome guys, I'm so happy that all you religious leaders are coming to my baptism. No, he doesn't. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come into his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers. Hey, he doesn't mess around. You bunch of slithering snakes. Okay? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But then he says this. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So when we start to deal with the issues in our lives and there's a repentance that takes place, we will start to bear fruit as well. So really just a summary now of, you know, the indicators of, you know, bearing fruit and so on. The first one, of course, is love. That's a fruit of the Spirit. So folks, let's put effort into this. It's number one, it's love. It's loving God. It's loving ourselves, like I said. In other words, seeing ourselves the way that God actually sees us. And also loving other people, right? The great commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and you will love your neighbor. He wants us to love people, even those that are difficult to love. Okay, but love them anyway. What do we say? Us Christians get around that. We say, oh, well, we'll love them with the love of the Lord. Is that what we say? We'll love you with the love of the Lord. Yeah. But that's the first one is love. The next one, of course, is joy. And that is us making a decision to be joyful in spite of our circumstances. That even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of the hurricane that you might be in your life, maybe right now, that you are able to experience that joy in that situation. The next one is peace, and that means that we have peace with God, that our relationship with God is right, and that we have peace with man as well. Obviously, patience, and patience as we go through the trials of life, you know, whatever the trials are, that we're patient in them. Like I said, when we're stuck in the traffic or we're going through those things where we get irritated, rather take a step back, if we can, and see it as us actually now watering that fruit of patience right there. Then, of course, kindness, goodness, and gentleness towards other people, showing compassion, and then, of course, genuine faith in God. And also self-control, that's the final one, self-control, and that is self-control the best we can in all situations. And again, that's a challenge. Amen. But folks, you know, if we can apply these things, we will start to see spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, starting to grow in our lives. And we'll start to see it in other people as they also start to apply God's principles. That's how they know we're Christians, by our fruit. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for your word, that we can spend time together and just unpack what you're saying to us. And thank you, Lord, that even as your word went out, that it does touch hearts and touch lives, and that there's a shifting and changes take place because your word says that your word is alive. So we just say thank you for that. And just with our eyes closed, is there anybody here? You're not even sure about your eternity. You're not even sure, you know, that you are going to heaven. The Bible is very clear that there is a real place called heaven, that that's where believers are going once we pass on. But there is also a real place called hell. And we need to know that we know that we know. If we are only 98% sure that we're going to heaven, I want to say to you, you're not sure. There's a 2% that thing is wrong. And we need to kind of bring that before the Lord. So if you are not sure about your eternity, I would like to pray for you. And if that's you, is anybody here that you're not 100%? Why don't you put up your hand? I want to just pray for you if that's you. Okay. So Father, we thank you that all of us here today have received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And all of us here today are destined to spend eternity in your presence. So we just say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.